Welcome to everyone again. Welcome online who are watching. We're just so excited to have you here. As you know, I'm so grateful when I'm given the privilege to be able to share with you. So thank you to the pastors and the team. And today we're going to continue with part seven of Revealing Jesus. And the title that I've given mine is called Open My Eyes That I May See. And how did I come to this? Well, I happened to be when Pastor Mark started the series on Revealing Jesus, I happened to be in Matthew. And I started to read, and I don't know how you do your Bible study. There's not a right way or a one way. But I do hope that we are all spending daily time in our Bible reading with Jesus, because we need to be with God in his presence if we're going to live the life he's called us to. So the way I do my Bible study is I sit down, I have my computer, just in case I need to look up references in the easy way, and I have my Bible, and I have a journal, I have a highlighter, I have a pencil. And I sit down, and before I start, I say, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, would you open my eyes that I would see what you want me to see, and I would learn what you want me to learn for today? Because how many know he gives us fresh manna? He doesn't give us the stuff from last week, and he's not going to give me the stuff I need next week. He gives me what I need today. And so that's why we need to be with him today. And so it just so happened, as we start this series on Revealing Jesus, that I'm in Matthew. So I'm reading Matthew 2, 10 to 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. I'm sorry. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Sorry, and the reason that gets me is that what did they see? So you have this group. We tend to say there's these three wise men who come from the east. We don't know that. We only assume that because they had three gifts. But really, probably, there was this caravan. No one travels, just three people. And they were obviously men of distinction, men of wealth, or they wouldn't have that type of gift. So you have this caravan, and somewhere along the line, these men are in the east, and they see a star. Why was there only one caravan of people who saw the star? Like, do you do that? When I read now, I'm starting to ask. I go, well, how come there was only one group of people? Didn't everybody see the star? It was in the sky. How come everybody didn't see it? And then they go along their way, but all of a sudden, obviously, something happened to this star, because they went into Jerusalem and they said, where is he who is born King of the Jews? They didn't know where they were supposed to go now. And so then Herod does his little thing, and he finds out it's in Bethlehem. He sends them on their way to Bethlehem. And again, then the star is there again. They see the star, and it leads them to where the child is. And I found it fascinating. When they saw the star, they didn't go, oh, wow, isn't that beautiful? How big? They rejoiced, not with joy, but with exceedingly great joy. What was going on there? What did they see? And then they get to Bethlehem. Just think of this for a minute. Sometimes when I'm doing my Bible study, I close my eyes and I say, God, would you take me into that place? Take me into Bethlehem. Let me watch that happening. Would you show me? Open my eyes that I would see. And imagine now this caravan, not again, two guys, this caravan comes into Bethlehem, which is this poor, tiny little town. And he comes to this house, which is not like a mansion, not like the houses we have here, but it's going to be this thing of mud and straw that's got tiny windows because you don't want the cold to come in, so there's not a lot of light. And they come, and they see the child. He's about two, we think. Think of the two-year-old little boys you know. He probably was a little bit scruffy, a little bit dirty, because that's what little two-year-old boys do, right? And then it says in Isaiah, it tells us that there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. There was nothing to attract us to him. So it's not like he had probably blonde hair, blue eyes, and this cherubic look to him that they went, oh. No, he was probably this little dirty Jewish boy playing in, you know. But they saw him. And when they saw him, what was their response? They fell at his feet and worshiped. Think of this. Learned scholars, wealthy men in front of a snotty little Jewish boy. And they go like this. What did they see? I want to see what they saw. I want to see what they saw. because I want to do that. I want to bow before him. I want to bring my gifts and lay them at his feet. But to do that, I need to see what they saw. And then, you know, you have John. Oh, so on the road to Emmaus, you have these disciples, you know, Jesus has been crucified. They're walking back now to their hometown, and they're kind of like, oh my goodness, we thought this was going to be such a great ending, and it's this horrific ending, and this man comes along beside them. Now, it's the same man, it's Jesus, but they don't see it's Jesus. They walk with him, he opens his scripture, so he actually shows them the word of God, and they still don't see Jesus. Have you ever had that experience where you show somebody the word of God, and they still don't see Jesus? Because the word of God alone will not show you Jesus. But then something happens. They say, okay, don't go, come and have dinner with us. And he breaks the bread, and all of a sudden, their eyes are open, and they see. And then you have John on the Isle of Patmos. He's there now, it's towards the end of his life, he's in isolation, and he's just in the presence of God, and he gets taken up, and he says, he wants to describe to us what he's seen, and he goes, there's this man there, and he's got hair white like wool, and his eyes are like fire, and his feet like burnished bronze, and when I saw him, so up to that point, nothing happened, but when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. So what is happening there? What is happening there? I want to see him. Isn't that your heart? Like, I want to see what they saw. But you know, I can't make that happen. I can't go, okay, I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to read my Bible enough. I'm going to spend enough. No, none of that's going to make me see Jesus. There's only one thing that makes you see Jesus, and that's God alone. God alone reveals Jesus. And how do we know that? Well, because John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals him. Matthew 16:17, God has blessed you, Simon of Jonah. Jesus said, for my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you. This is not from any human source. We cannot save anyone. So let go of that pressure, that if I could just do the right thing, my child will walk with Jesus. If I had only been a better parent. If only I was the right spouse, I married the right person. If only. Can you let that go today and not walk with that guilt or shame? It didn't depend on you. And yeah, maybe you did some things that weren't helpful. If you did, take ownership, accept responsibility. If you need to make things right, make it right. Ask forgiveness from the Lord, from whoever. But then can you let it go? Jesus paid for that. Don't waste his blood that was shed. Let it go. God alone reveals Jesus. You know, striving will never reveal Jesus. Works will never reveal Jesus. I can go and I can serve the poor. Doesn't it say that? I can give everything to the poor. But without love, it's nothing. And even me standing up here teaching or preaching will not reveal Jesus unless God comes and does what only he can do. But one of the main ways we have to understand, if you want to see Jesus, if you're saying, I want to see this Jesus, one of the main ways that's going to happen is in the Bible. You must read your Bible. And I know everyone who comes up here says this over and over again. And we're not saying it because we want to be legalistic. We're saying it because we want you to have life and life abundant. And there's only one author of life we know. It's Jesus. And if you don't know him, if you don't see him, how are you going to live the life he paid for you to have? Open your Bible. It's a great adventure. It's a great love story. And it's written specifically for you. It's personalized to each and every one of us. Because you know what? When I read Matthew, I saw one thing. But maybe when Helen reads Matthew, she sees something else. And when Madonna reads Matthew, she sees something else. It's personalized. The thing that you open today to read is not going to be the thing that I open. And even if it is, it's not going to be the same thing. Because Holy Spirit, he has a personal relationship with each one of us. He's a personal God. He's not a generic one size fits all. He's not like Oprah, for you. No. He says, come sit with me. I want to show you something specific for you. That's what he's like. So please, do not ever think your Bible is boring or irrelevant or you're doing God a favor. Don't do the checklist thing. Well, I came to church today. I read my Bible today. No, that's not a relationship. It's like, okay, I want to know. Right now I'm in Revelation, actually. And it's fascinating because you read it and ask questions when you read. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. Don't just read it, but like, why did you write that, Holy Spirit? And then listen to him. He'll tell you stuff. I'm sorry, I have to stop for a minute. Ellen, I just noticed you there. Oh my goodness, it was so good to see you. So good to see you. So yeah, read your Bible. It's an adventure. Read it as an adventure. Look to see something just for you every day. Now, why does God take the time and go to all the trouble to reveal Jesus to us? Back to the beginning. You know, I always go there. Genesis 1:26. Because we were created in his image. And that image got lost because of the fall, but God still had a plan. He knew it was going to happen. He wasn't worried. He didn't give up. He said, okay, you guys are going to choose to be disobedient. Okay, there's consequences, but don't worry. I've got a plan. And we know that his intentions towards us are always good. So what he does is he reveals Jesus to me, as Mark prayed even, that we would be transformed, that we would be made to look like him. So if you want to know, have you seen Jesus? Are you seeing Jesus? Look at your life and go, am I being transformed? Am I different today than I was last week, last year, last month? You know, I may not be perfect. God doesn't look for perfection. He's looking for progress. Now, don't take this wrong, but maybe I watch stuff on the internet that I shouldn't be watching on the internet. But you know, there was a, and I'm trying not to, but I only watch maybe 3 days on the internet, and it really bothers me that I'm doing this. Well, there was a time in your life when it didn't bother you. There was a time in your life when you didn't care. So you see, you aren't, he is changing you. And the more you look at him and not at your sin, the more you're going to become like him and let go of your sin. It's not because I'm trying over here. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to just look. I'm looking at this box. I'm not going to look at the box. I'm not going to look at the box. I'm not going to look at the box. Well, what am I doing when I'm doing that? I'm looking at the box. It's not working. So I go, I'm not going to look at the box. Jesus, I'm going to look at you. Oh my goodness, you are forever faithful. You are forever true. You are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. Thank you that you're making me look just like you. Thank you that today you're changing me. Thank you that you're pouring your spirit is already in me, and now you're stirring it in me so that I can become just like you. What's happened? I'm not even thinking about the box. I am so in love with Jesus. That's how it works. I forget that it's even over there because what I have here is so much better. So true Christianity involves change. So when we give our lives to Christ, it's at the basis of everything. Transformation is going to begin. Now, most of us actually don't mind change as long as it's not with regards to ourselves. I like to change a change of clothing, a change of restaurant, a change of, you know, change that kind of thing is nice. But when it becomes, I need to change, I kind of go, oh, that's not as much fun as a new pair of shoes. Because why? Well, it can be hard. It can be uncomfortable. It can be humbling, and it can even be painful. But as Jesus followers, if you're a Jesus follower here online, you signed up for this, we must remember that change, that transformation is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. We are to become like Jesus. We are not to need love. We are to be love, because that's who he is. It changes us. We had the privilege of being at Corinne's house last week, 2 weeks ago. We had a little memorial service for Bill. And it was fascinating what Corinne said, because they weren't saved at first. And then Bill met Jesus. He saw Jesus. And Corinne said, he changed. He wasn't the same man. He wasn't the same husband. He was different. He had changed. And she eventually, too, came to know the Lord and changed. But that was her comment was, he got saved and he changed. He was, what was old became new, because God is the God who does that. Eric Raymond puts it like this: when we believe the gospel, we accept the truth that we need to change. God wants to make us like his son. You have to understand that's the purpose behind everything that's happening in your life. Can you embrace that truth? It's not because you've been bad. It's not because you didn't pick the right thing. No, God will take everything in your life and he will use it to make you like Jesus. That's what's going on. So are you in a hard space? Maybe it is because of your bad choices. Don't take that wrong, but sometimes that's what it's because of. Or maybe it's just life is just life right now. Or maybe, who knows why? But God will take that if you will keep your eyes fixed on him. And he will use it to make you like his son. And that is our purpose on earth. Your purpose is not to have a wonderful life. I'm sorry, don't take that wrong. We do, when we live for Jesus, have a wonderful life because they just, it's a natural, they go together, okay? But that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to become like Jesus. And if we lose sight of that purpose, life can get really hard because we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through. And we know this from Romans 8:29, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and of course sisters. So he's the firstborn, now we're the nextborn. We are not just occupying a seat on Sunday. As I said before, you don't just come here for that. You actually have a purpose and a destiny to become like Jesus. God is meeting with us to use his word. That's why you need this. This is what he uses, his word and his spirit, the power of his spirit, to make us, again, like his son. And then we have to understand that achieving God's ends comes through embracing God's means. You see, I can't become like Jesus the way I want to do it. I can't go, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. I'll just become like Jesus without reading my Bible. But that's not God's way. God says, renew your mind by the washing of the word. So actually, his ends, become like Jesus, is achieved through his means. I can't say, well, I'm not going to forgive. Do you know what they did to me? How can you think I should forgive them? Well, then you're not going to become like Jesus, because God's means is always forgiveness, no matter what someone does to you. I'm sorry that you were hurt. And some stuff is horrific, horrific, unfair, so evil and wrong. So please don't think we're minimizing that or God minimizes what was done to you. But he says, honey, if you just fixate on that thing, you're never going to be free. And I didn't die so you'd be stuck in someone else's pain and someone else's dysfunction. They don't determine who you are. I determine who you are. So forgive them and be who I say you are, free, holy, perfect, blameless in my sight. You've been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Their sin is not your sin. You are holy in my sight. But you got to forgive, because that's his way to get you to the end. You can't do it your way. Now, God understands that before we're Christ followers, we can't live like Christ. We're actually slaves to sin because we don't know Jesus. We haven't seen him. But once you give your life to Christ, he tells us in the word, and if you know the word, you can declare this out loud, that I am no longer a slave to sin. Isn't that good news? Isn't that like the best news ever? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. Isn't that just amazing that sin doesn't get to rule over me anymore? Sure, it comes and it does this, but I go, excuse me, your day is done in the grave. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't get to control me. Sin doesn't have its rule over me. Isn't that the most amazing truth that we have? So living a godly life becomes my reasonable act of worship. If I was unkind before, and now I'm kind, I don't go, oh my goodness, look at me. I'm so great, I'm kind now. No, what I do is I go, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you so much for your fruit that you're showing in me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in me. I give him the glory and the honor in my life because he's the one who's worthy of it. I'm not doing this to win God's favor. Do we understand? It's so important you understand. You already have God's favor. He's pouring it on you 24/7. If you're a Jesus follower, the favor of God is on your life. Feel free to walk around when you're going somewhere, driving somewhere. Thank you, God. Favor's on my life. It's going to be a great day. The favor of God's on my life. How could it not be a great day? Great day does not mean everything goes my way. Great day means I have Jesus with me, and we're going to face everything with joy. We're going to count it all joy. I don't have to get sucked into some black hole of despair and hopelessness, because I got the God of all hope living inside me. That's what it means. So I go, thank you, God, your favor's on my life. And I'm not doing something to kind of like twist God's arm to make him willing to encounter me. He already wants to encounter us. He showed all this on the cross. He proved everything already. And so what happens is, I shouldn't expect, this is kind of hard to hear, I shouldn't expect praise when I live my reasonable act of worship, which is the life I live for him. It would be nice if people acknowledged me, but how many of us too often go, they didn't even say thank you. Doesn't anybody see what I'm doing? Sheesh, you know, I showed up and I put all these chairs out. And it's great that Mark thanks us, because we should offer thanks to people. We should be thoughtful. That's called being thoughtful. That's a good thing. But what if no one ever thanked you? What would you do? Would you kind of throw up your hands and go, well, forget it then. I'm moving on. This place obviously is. Or do I say, God, thank you. This is my reasonable act. I do it for you. And that's enough for me. And you see, that's why you can actually have joy, because God always sees what you do. And he looks and he goes, well done, well done. And isn't his well done enough for us? Do I need my husband's well done? It's nice when he says the dinner cooks is good, well done. You know, he likes not too well done. It's nice when he goes, you know, good job, honey. I want to thank you for dinner. That's wonderful when he does that. And again, please hear my heart. We should say thank you all the time. We should encourage one another all the time. Why? Because that's what God's like. Is he not our biggest encourager? And remember, what's our purpose? The goal? To be like him. So we want to love well. And I want, you know, every time Jesus is seen in my life, I believe it's a reminder that principalities and powers and rulers in unseen realms that Jesus Christ is Lord. They look and they watch and it's like, oh, Jesus is Lord. And that's true. It declares to the people around me that Jesus is Lord of my life. And when they see how good he is in and through me, they will want to get to know him. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not your criticism, your judgmentalism, your I want to fix them that leads them to repentance. It's the goodness of God. That's why we want to live like him. And that's the gospel message. He came and he gave his life so that we could live like him. And if I don't understand that, instead of living for him, I think he's come to live for me. And I want to see him not because I want to be transformed into his image. I want to see him because I want to see what he's going to do for me. And that's not the gospel. He's already done everything for me. He doesn't need to do one more thing. He's done it all. Now it's up to me to live, allow his life to live through me. It's about God's kingdom being here now on earth, right now, in me, in you, and not only living in us, but then being extended through us into the world. That's what it's about. I'm not on the earth for God to do things for me. I'm on the earth so that he can live through me. So if we can get that truth, it changes your life. You're in a situation, it's not fair. Well, it's not, you're not there for it to be fair. You're there so God can be seen through you in that situation. So how does God react in that situation? You need to see what he would do, so now you can do the same. Now, we learned about the Good Shepherd. Why does Jesus want to show you the Good Shepherd? Well, he wants you and me to have the Good Shepherd's heart. What do I do when I see a lost sheep? Do I go, let's write him off, too far, I'm not going there, that's too much work? Or do I have the shepherd's heart and I leave the 99 and I go after the one? He wants us to be, remember, like him. How do I, you know, am I irritable with people? Do I speak unkindly? Do I resent other people's success? Do I treat people badly when I'm upset? You know, it's really easy to be nice when everything goes your way. But if you want to know how much you're being changed by Jesus, get in a situation where it's not going your way. And then you're going to see, you go, thank you, God. I do this. Thank you, God, for my husband. Because he shows me how selfish I still am. That's what it is. I'm not getting my way. That's why I respond to him that way. So instead of going, oh, this is, why doesn't he do it my way? I've actually started talking out loud to myself. And I say, thank you, God, for showing me how selfish I still am. and how I need to change, not how he needs to change. He's got his journey. I'm walking my journey. I want to know what God wants to do in me. Sure, he's going to do something in Michael because Michael's pursuing the Lord for his own self. But God, I'm responsible for my life. I want to live it well before him. I don't want to spend my energy trying to make Michael live his life well before the Lord that I think he should be living. That's like, how useless. Stop doing that to each other. Let's just concentrate on God. Transform me. Make me like Jesus. Because regardless of the circumstances we're in, I'm sorry if you're in a really difficult place. The expectation is you're going to show what Jesus looks like in those circumstances. And if you're finding that really, really hard, then maybe you haven't seen Jesus there. Maybe your eyes are fixed on someone else. And if your eyes are fixed on someone else, you won't be able to do what God's asking you to do. As Pastor Mark said, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because if we look at something else, we can't do what God calls us to do. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen, discerned, or experienced God, has enjoyed no vision of him, and does not know him at all. That's from the 3 John 11 from the Amplified version. So too often, you see, we don't have a vision of Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on self. How is this impacting me? What is this doing, making my life harder? How are you not being who I need you to be? How you make me feel? Do you see what it is? It's me, me, me. Self, self, self. And we have to remember again, we were never designed by God. Who you are, believe it or not, you were never designed to live for self. You were designed to live for God. So if you live for self, you will never be happy. You will never be fulfilled because you're walking outside of your design, created design. You need to walk selflessly, living for Christ, and that's how you're going to find fulfillment. So how do I see Jesus in my circumstances? Well, I'd like to propose that Isaiah 46:10 helps us find a way, which is be still and know that I am God. If I want to know God, if I want to see Jesus, I must choose to make time for him. Do you make time in your room, time in your day, do you make room for Jesus? Do you quiet your heart? Do you listen for Holy Spirit's voice? Do you ever just go alone with him? And not with a shopping list of, oh, Jesus, save this person, heal this person, fix this thing, do this thing, I need this, I need that. Or do you ever just go alone and go, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring so much for me. Thank you for protecting me and providing for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Do you ever just spend time thanking him? Because he wants to talk to us. He wants to show Jesus to us. John 16 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Do you understand how important it is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do I value him and his presence in my life? Am I willing to put things aside? Am I willing maybe not to scroll social media, watch that extra TV show or movie, and spend that time with Holy Spirit? That will help us reveal. And if you're not, please don't feel condemned by it. Just be authentic. Say, I don't want that yet. Actually, I don't want Jesus that much. So then what you pray is, Holy Spirit, help me to want Jesus that much. Help me to see. Remember, if you've given your life to Christ, you don't walk in condemnation. But you do want to be changed. So say, God, help me. I want to be transformed. It's not by trying harder. It's by surrendering and embracing the truth of who Jesus says you are. And it's not when we wait on him, be still and know that he is God. It's not this passive, well, I sure hope something happens sometime soon. It's this It's this expectant, joyful expectation of, okay, I know, because he said in his word that if I wait on him, that those who draw near to him, he'll draw near too. So I'm coming because I know I'm about to encounter God. I'm about to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to speak to my heart. He's going to show me something that's going to transform me. It's a confident, joyful, hope-filled waiting. That's what we want to do. Now, so over 2,000 years ago, men from the East came. And God opened their eyes, and they saw Jesus, and he wants to do the same thing for us today. If I can ask the musicians to come forward, please. Now, I'm sure they didn't expect the star to lead them to a 2-year-old little boy. But when they saw him, when Jesus was revealed to them by Holy Spirit for who he truly was, there was only one response, to fall down and worship. Holy Spirit wants to continue to reveal Jesus to each one of us here and online. So we're going to do something a little different. We're going to continue to do the live stream, but I've asked the musicians to come up, and we're going to position ourselves. We have lots of time. We have lots of time. Isn't God good that he knew you were going to be here today? He knew you were going to be watching online. And so he said, I'm going to make room. Because maybe they don't have time. Well, I'm going to make them some time. Because you're here now. And you'd expect actually to be here till at least 11:30. And we're only, believe it or not, 11:07. Look at that. So we're going to spend some time waiting on the Lord. And please don't worry about babies and baby noise. God made babies. He knows how babies function. He's okay with baby noise. His beauty, right, will fade everything else away when you see him. And how do you know? You go, yeah, that's what you say, Janine, but I don't know. I don't know if I'll heal Jesus. Well, Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, and for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Are you willing to believe that? Are you willing to ask? And Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what's the kingdom? It's his rule and reign. It's his good pleasure to put his rule and reign in you. And the Message version says it this way, don't be afraid of missing out. What if I spend all this time with, you know, in the Word and with Jesus, I'm going to miss something. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when God looks at you, he goes, there's a dear friend. You're his dearest friend. He's so glad you're here today. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. You're not asking for something he doesn't want to do. His heart is to overflow, that fill you with him, so that then he splashes out over everyone that you go near. You know, it's interesting that you may or may not know that Jessica, we were away last Sunday because we went to Montreal to get a puppy. And Jessica now has this puppy. And this puppy was taken out of everything it knew and put into a whole new situation. And we were very intentional that Jessica became his source. He feeds her, him, sorry, provides for him, protects him. Everything he needs comes from Jessica. And he knows it. So he's been now only 7 days with us, but within the first several days, he understood right away that this person is my source. No matter what's going on, all I need to do is run to her and it will be okay. He doesn't worry about, am I going to get fed today? Because he knows that she will come and feed him. And we practice come, and already I hold him and he hears her voice. And she says, Ollie, come. And he leaps out of my hands, wherever we are in the house. And he runs to find her voice. with such excitement and with such hope and with such determination, because he knows if I can just get to her, it will be okay. He knows that she will provide everything I need. I don't have to doubt it. And you see, I watched that, and the Lord said to me during my quiet time, he said, honey, that's what I want you to do. That when I call, I don't want you to look to the right or to the left. You know, he doesn't, I can try and distract him. He doesn't care who else is there. He goes for her. And the Lord said that. And I said, you know, Lord, I want that heart. That when he calls, I don't want to look to the right or the left. That when I hear his voice, I run to him. That when I'm concerned about what's happening in my life, that I don't go and run to my husband, or I don't go start down this worry trail. I run to Jesus, and I will look for his voice and to be in his presence. So if you're in a situation right now, and you may be saying to yourself, I haven't seen him in so long. I miss him so much. It's been a long time. He's here today for you. He wants you to see him again. He's not angry. He's not disappointed. His love for you is so great. That's all he has. That's what he has for you. So I've asked the musicians, we're not going to worship. There's not going to be any words on the screen. If you feel to stand, sit, kneel, however you feel, we're going to position ourselves to see Jesus. And we're going to expect and trust that he's going to open our eyes. And whatever situation you're in, if you're in this difficult spot, say, Jesus, would you show me? Would you show me where you are in this? Would you show me my provider, my protector, my healer, the Lord of hosts who's never been defeated in a battle? So Lord, as we come this morning, I thank you for who you are. And Lord, the cry of our heart would be, open our eyes, that we would see. And if you're online, please, the same thing, find a place to sit. Position yourself and say, God, open my eyes. I want to see. Where I've been blind, would you remove the blinders? Open my eyes that I would see.